Previously on Cubs Out Loud.
I'm super stoked about the fact that I am in person, Mr. Hadrian McQuaig.
Hello.
And not only that, but we have a super special surprise guest. His other half, Bailey, is here too.
Hello.
Welcome to my home.
Other folks that I've, whoops, sorry. Hadrian came on in.
But it was definitely coming to a head in my head. I planned on joining the military before I started sucking dick. I had gone to the prom with a guy and it was on the news in my hometown. I kind of made the airwaves. Really difficult duty station of Monterey, California, where I just got exposed to more homosexuals.
I'm really drawn in about the triad.
She was one of my favorite teachers. And she said, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to do after you graduate? Do you even know? I'm like, I'm going to be a porn star.
I'm going to be a porn star. I'm going to do porn.
We had sex on camera. He blew me. I blew him. I fucked him. And he paid me. And then I bought a video game with the money. And that was it. There's this baby boy that he abandoned, you know, 20 years ago, second dick.
So it's not his little boy second dick, it's his little boy being railed by some man that looks similar to his stature. And
I win! And I eat a lot of pussy, and I did a lot of dickless, you know, headless dick shots.
Hadrian has also successfully ruined most of my favorite porns for me.
Whose giant, fat, uncut dick is this? I found him on Barefoot 1-1, you know, back when people used Barefoot 1-1. And,
some people still do.
You're old.
Jerking off to your videos and stuff since before I was legally supposed to be jerking off to your videos and stuff.
I met yet another cute, chubby, uncut, adorable cubby from West Palm Beach who lives in Orlando, Florida and goes to UCF.
Oh, crap.
I did it again.
He's like, yeah. Wow.
They're just kind of coming from all over.
God, I don't know. Did I have Growler at that point? I don't think I had Growler at that point.
If I wait, I can watch it online.
In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, Gary continues his interview with Hadrian and Bailey during his vacation in Orlando, Florida. The conversation covers dad bods, our celebrity expectations, and Hadrian opens up about his health. Then they discuss growing older with our body changes while also being a person relatively known on a local, if not international level in the bear community. Oh, and Gary finds out there's a battered bear celebrities wives club. So, clean up the kitty litter and get ready to listen as COL 316 starts now.
Hey guys, Gary here with the Cubs Out Loud crew. This is episode 316, which is part two of the interview I did with Hadrian and Bailey while I was in Florida for vacation. We pick up the conversation right where we left off at the end of last episode, and we start making a transition to the subject where we talk about dad bods and their theory about why that's become a thing recently. And then we move on from there and talk about a lot of other stuff. So I hope you enjoy the show. So speaking of clone looks, because we did touch on this before, we said I wanted to bring it up in the podcast. All right. Are you aware of, and can you please explain to me, because I'm not really researched on it, this whole dad bod thing that is going on, which I'm really hoping is honestly a fad.
No. Dad bods have been around for a long time. We just now have a name for it.
Okay, well, that's what I'm referring to as, like lumbersexual. We've done shows, we've talked about, like, the concept, the definition, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm bothered by these headlines of these articles and things that are popping up in my newsfeed on Facebook that are like, you know, we, you know, get to thank the bear community or blame the bear community for the dad bod being popular. And I'm like, ugh! I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, no. I don't think that's how this works. Because my understanding of a dad bod is not necessarily a bear.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Bailey's shaking his head now. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Like with most marketing, before you can tell people they need to change, you have to identify what they are doing. And you can't just say someone's slob, because then people will take you know, oh, I like being a slob. I like, you know, wearing clothes that don't fit me and wearing tennis shoes with khakis and that kind of thing. You know, all the negative things they want to say about what a dad bod is. And now they have a name for it. You know, like before, you know, a few years ago, it was metrosexual. Oh, that guy's metrosexual. We can now market things to a metrosexual because we have a target audience. We can say things.
Right.
Oh, these jeans are made for hipsters. They're tight. They're form-fitting. The pockets are really low. We now have a name we can put on the marketing label that people will go for. Even if we don't say that, we can put in the marketing imagery, say, oh, these are hipsters, and when they're wearing those jeans, you should wear those jeans if you want to be like these kids. Now they can do it with dad bod. They can
say, so your forecast is, now that we have a label, it's just going to become part of the commercialism
ploy. Absolutely.
Now, like, you know, have dad bod? You should be wearing these things.
Absolutely. Blah, blah, blah. Or on the opposite of it, you like NASCAR? Have a dad bod? Drink beer. You know, you can market that in all different ways. You can make someone proud of being a slob and say, buy our shorts. They're for slobs. Buy our beer. It's for slobs. That kind of thing. You can work that in both directions and say, are you a slob? Does your wife say you have a dad bod? Come to our class. It's run by a real bear who knows how to make you look good.
Oh, God.
That's a little crazy. But, you know, you can work it all different kinds of ways. It's all marketing and money.
Well, we were kind of talking earlier about Hugh Jackman and his, you know, being Wolverine for, like, the last, what, like, 7 years now?
15. It was 2000. Jesus. 2000 was the first movie.
Okay, so 15 years.
Really?
Yeah. Remember X-Men? The first X-Men movie.
So yeah.
Talk about that.
Apparently there's a nerve.
But, so, Hugh Jackman, and he talked about, you know, this is going to be his last X-Men movie, and Hadrian's like, you know, he's probably tired of being, like, pigeonholed into this role and everything. Like, he probably just wants to eat a fucking cookie. Like, he has got to maintain that body and the way that they shoot those movies and all the Wolverine roles. He has got to keep that body the whole year, you know? And I'm thinking a lot of these articles, because a lot of the articles that are talking about men's bodies, they're usually not written by women. And I think some of these articles are maybe written by guys who have been metrosexuals and they've been these ripped muscular guys and they just want to have a cookie. So they said, hey, it's okay, dad bod, you know, have a cookie and a beer. And now all of a sudden it's okay.
I think it's funny that you say that, Bailey, because, Hader, I don't know if you agree with me. In the bear community, I think in the early years up until probably about 2010 to 2012, I distinctly recall there was this whole, the young boys, like, sometimes outside identified as twinks, whether they did it themselves or not. Others refer to them as twinks. There was this whole, like, you know, big, fat, older, hairy guys. And in the bear community, they would be like, yeah, okay, bitch, give you another 10 to 15 years and another 50 pounds, and then we'll see how you feel about this. Like, you are looking at your future through a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. Learn to get it together because you will be here at some point.
Fat twinks or cubs. Yep.
So, that being the case, it's kind of what it sounds like you're saying a little bit is that they're tired of maintaining or moving beyond that phase of their lives. Because I do think it is logistically part of the arc of your life experience that you have. You have these things that happen when you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on. And the same thing happens not only psychologically, but also socially and physically. The body changes and you go through different things, and so does your social structure. When you're in your 20s, you're being very social, you're hanging out with your same age group. It's more rare, I think, to hang out with an individual outside of your own pocket or age group, unless you happen to be what I call like an old soul and you gravitate towards older individuals or younger, whichever the case, it may, you know, float your sail in the wind. But I think it's interesting that you're mentioning that. The thing about Jackman having a cookie that was cracking me up, and I didn't realize it was 15 years, but you know what my instant thought was when you made that comment? And I was like, it's entertainment, baby. You signed on for this shit. And I know that's not the right thing to say, but it's my perspective of you signed the contract, you want the paycheck, you're doing this thing. So to me, it's no different than when he did The Boy from Oz on Broadway. It's like, you want to portray this flaming queen on stage and draw up all this attention with all the question marks around you about whether or not you're bi or homo or like whatever the situation is, because you do it too well for some people's opinions. That's part of the, you know, the story of the gig. But I recognize for him, he can't do it forever. Like, there are a few people that can carry on the character they have created of who they are for an eternity. Dolly Parton, one of the few people that has like somehow figured that shit out for like ever in a day. The blonde wig, the red lipstick, and the big tits, you know what I mean, and the tiny waist. She figured out a character and she's carried it through to this point. And that's why she's successful and Dolly was doing well in Gatlinburg and the whole bit. And there are a few other people that can also kind of do that. But then I think I kind of see him more like for lack of a reference, like I think of Russell Crowe right away, which is like, I'm an individual, I have this thing and I'm trying to do this stuff, and I'm not fighting the box I placed myself in, but I recognize that there is a box and I've got to do something about that. And to me, that's maybe more about why he's like, I can't, like, I need to be done with this, you know, kind of a thing. Which, to be fair, he can't do Wolverine forever. There will come a point where everyone will be like, all right, Grandpa, give it up. Like, you know. Yeah.
Well, he tweeted a few weeks ago. He had a box that had the closet that he puts on.
Yeah.
And he was saying, last time to put on, I get to put these on. So he was kind of implying either he was done with shooting, but it was kind of implying that he was done. He might be done with playing Wolverine.
Which is fine. And don't get me wrong. It was not like saying, oh, poor Hugh Jackman. You know, what? Like, I will eat mulch all year round if I get paid. Because he got like, because this turned into a thing where we're looking up how much money he was making per movie, and he's making like $50, $60 million per movie. I'll eat mulch all year round and keep the perfect body, whatever. I don't feel bad for him. I was just saying, because he's like you're saying, well, he can't do it forever, and he's being pigeonholed, and he wants to make his own name for him and all this stuff. And I was just like, maybe it's a little easier than that. Maybe he's just tired of working out, like, 7 hours a day.
It's definitely a rough thing to keep that kind of body. I'm sure they have trainers on him 24 hours a day.
Well, yeah, he didn't figure out how to do that body himself. Somebody's figured out the science.
And there was this one thing where they showed pictures of him from every movie he's done in every X-Men, and he's just gotten more and more and more ripped as it goes forward, even as he's gotten older.
Right. Notably, I saw that over the course of the films. I'm not an X-Men fan, but I've seen the films because I like them conceptually, and I've noticed that Wolverine weirdly gets more muscular, more whatever, as time goes by, which maybe is more accurate to the comics. Like, now they're kind of getting more into line where they actually were originally. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, obviously this is a big cash cow. It brings in money. Like, it has this whole thing. So we can't deny, at least in my opinion, that we're buying into the marketing and the sexuality and all the rest of it. Like, there is things going on here as to why we're driving towards that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He needs to look a certain way on screen. But I think that of all the characters, like, it doesn't matter who you are, you know, if Patrick Stewart, you know, was, you know, playing Xavier, do you know what I mean? Like to me, there's just these things, like, they have to do this thing. And it doesn't matter how old Patrick's getting. They're like, all right, well, we're just going to slather about 6 layers of Botox on your face, damn it, and get you to, like, you know, look a certain way. Well,
I think whatever. The new one, they don't have Patrick Stewart doing it.
No,
they retired him, but...
Well, I was going to say, that's part of the thing, is that they've worked to kind of retire some people and avoid the controversy of the this one isn't recognized in the film, or this one, like, their scene was deleted, or this one doesn't get a toy, or it's just the headlines I read and I'm like, oh, okay, like, I get it, but, you know,
but there's a certain point where somebody has to be able to say, I'm done maintaining this body and this image and this look, and I'm gonna get a dad bod. And that turning point for a lot of people is the moment they have children.
So,
because once they start having to carry about a kid, they're getting no sleep for like the first, 9 months the kid is around. Mm-hmm. They get no sleep. There's no time to go to the gym. They can't take care of them. Most people can't afford a nanny. So you're going to eat whatever you can as you can. You smell awful. You sleep awful. I mean, there's all these things about having a baby. And if you have 3 or 4 of them, that's several years of it. You're going to be committed to that. I mean, at some point, your body's just going to say, oh, okay, well, I guess we need to get fat. if all you have time to eat is a Twinkie, then and you're gonna smell like baby shit all the time, you're getting fat.
Wow.
It's true. That's what babies do. But
it's not just about having kids either, because when you're talking about having kids, it doesn't super affect the man physically as much as does the woman. Yeah, you're not getting as much sleep and all that kind of stuff. But I think what you're trying to hit at is getting older, and you know, when I was 16, I could drop 30 pounds in a month, no problem. And now here I am not being able to do that. So with everybody, even, you know, Olympic athletes and everything, there's going to be a certain point where their metabolism slows down and it hits, it meets a point where they're like, okay, suddenly I have to put more effort than I'm comfortable with to maintain this physique. You hit that point, everybody hits it at some point in their life, you know, and it kind of starts going the other way. Suddenly you're really fighting an uphill battle to maintain a physique and keep a physique and all that kind of stuff. And it just happens to hit right around dad age, you know?
So there's someone that is, I think, going in the opposite direction of this currently, which I find very interesting. And I just mentioned it to Drew today, because there was a t-shirt you can buy online and it made me laugh like hell. I had to show it to him on Facebook. And it says, let me think about it for a second. I don't mind putting on extra weight as long as Chris Pratt sits on me. And I thought it was funny as hell. And I was like, wow. And of course, Drew was like, who's Chris Pratt again? Like, which, you know, I was trying to describe and I showed a picture or whatever. But he's gone in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. He went from the quote-unquote classic dad bod that the bear community was, like, totally embracing and in love with. Because they were like, oh, he's funny and he's doughy and blah, 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 and he's really great. Guardians of the Galaxy comes along and he cuts down for that and has just not stopped that trajectory ever since then. Yeah. He's just like now slimmer, slimmer, blah, blah, blah. He's completely the Hollywood star.
Jurassic World is his next movie and he's super cutting that. I'm sure they're going to show him shirtless at some point. Well, he's now the guy that everyone wants to see shirtless.
Right. He's the it Hollywood it boy. Like, you know, he's kind of like the Tom Cruise or whatever of just like being popular on everything, pictures, posters, you name it. And what I find interesting is reading articles about how until recently, one of his things that he liked to do was shock people is he would just flash his junk randomly, like on movie sets or on TV shows or whatever. Right. And so the bear community is like, hey, oh yeah. Like, you know, they're all about that. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not saying that he left the bear community because that's not technically what happened, but he's modified for the business, the industry, and all that kind of stuff. And I find it interesting that he's gone in the opposite direction of instead of embracing and changing, like, I'm not going to continue this, I'm now starting this. I want to say Jonah Hill, was he one that, like, did this, like, he went back, basically, to where he was. He, like, got a little bit of notoriety, he had a good film, he dropped all the weight, he was up for the Oscar, and then I noticed, like, he's kind of back to where he was before. And I only point that out and notice it because I struggle with the industry of Hollywood and the whole, like, giving us a projection of, like, this is selling us what we should be enjoying, quote unquote. And I'm like, really? Not everyone needs to be this thin, this beautiful, so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Well, some actors, like John Lito or John Leguizamo, like, they have the ability to gain and lose weight like crazy. Mm-hmm. They need 80 pounds for a role. Give me 3 months, I'll be there. And they need to lose weight for a role. Like John Leguizamo went from, what did he go from? He went from what was it? Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, that kind of thing. Or but months before that,
Tu Wong Fu.
He said he drank just water and ate all this unhealthy fat stuff, and he liquefied his muscle for that role so he could look thin. And then a few months later, he did what? He did Spawn. And he was like, he did gain weight for that role. More of that is prosthetic, of course, but he was the clown in Spawn, and he gained all that weight. And then he went to do a muscle boy scene. Like, he gained muscle back to do Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. So he just goes up and down the scale, and John Lito apparently does a lot of that, too. And there's a lot of actors who are capable of just gaining and losing all this weight like crazy. But for the most part, we're not all gifted that way. I've been trying to gain and lose weight for years, and I just keep going up and up and up.
But I think you said it's kind of like him working the opposite way, and you're kind of similar saying the same thing. I think it's still the same thing. It's suddenly you have this role, like Chris Pratt, they're like, you know, we want you to do Star-Lord, we're going to give you X million dollars.
Right.
Suddenly they're, because I was saying kind of like at some point the effort of how much effort you have to put in to maintaining it meets how much you care, and it kind of devolves at that point. Suddenly when you're offered $30 million,
right,
you're caring sudden shoots up, and I will, like I said, eat mulch for $60 million.
Absolutely, I agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is it's a kind of the basic eating when I teach about sales. Like, there is value in something. You just have to know what that value point is. People will pay anything for something. For example, we were talking about technology earlier, and it's not a surprise to anybody that's kind of caught on. Hadrian, you're a bit of, you know, in the Apple wheelhouse, and you have an Apple Watch. We were talking about stuff, and there's a, what, $17,000 Apple Watch available for purchase. And some people are like, who the hell wants to? And my immediate answer is people with money.
Yeah.
It's that simple. There's a reason why you can buy a vehicle for $200,000, because somebody out there has that kind of money and will pay for it.
That's right.
And I've taught in training classes. I'm like, does a $200,000 vehicle operate any better than a $20,000 vehicle? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say not a ton, not tenfold better necessarily. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just about same thing than the watch. You know, you pay, you know, $17,000 for a watch, or you pay $1,000 for a watch. Like, is it really 17 times better? Maybe, maybe not. Probably on the house of, it's more about the perceived value and the concept.
The people who are going to wear that watch are the ones going up on a stage, and people are going to notice that watch and place some value on them because of that watch. It's an image point.
Right.
Their watch doesn't do anything that my watch doesn't do.
So in that case, with the thing with Chris, is what I'm thinking about is that he's found the value point, like whatever it is for him, whatever he's been offered, he's like, I'm willing to change myself, do these things to meet this goal, to get this thing, so mm-hmm. to speak. And so I'm proud of him, but I find it interesting because he was one of the people that I think the bear community in a general terms was kind of like, I like him. He's, you know, he's funny. He's cute, blah, blah, blah. I would absolutely, like, you know, drop to my knees in 5 seconds if the opportunity presented itself. But now he's changed. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, how many people really kind of still feel that way? Because I think that's happened a lot for celebrity via the bear community that we see somebody. And then we're kind of like, oh, like, for example, I don't know if you know who Art Smith is.
Yes.
The chef that was Oprah Winfrey's chef.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Adorable. I fell in love with him. The first time he was on Oprah's show, I was like, oh my God, he's like this gingerish, like becoming salt and pepper chef dude. And he like is Southern charm and cute. And he knows how to cook. Win. And then I figured out, like, after about 4 words, I was like, and he's family. So that was all great. Then, you know, he isn't working with Oprah anymore. He goes off and does his own stuff. Opens a place in Washington, D.C. He puts himself on a health program and loses all this weight and is now, like, the proper weight, quote unquote, you know, per BMI scale and crap, which is, you know, kind of crazy. And I'm like, you're thin now, and this really is interesting. To me, I recognize kind of the, I don't know what to say, the mind fuck, but it's like, I was really bought into this of you, and now you're not that. And so it really kind of shows to me the whole, what you see as a package versus what you actually get is an important piece of the people that are, you know, involved in your lives that you want to do things with at a certain level.
Well, that makes me wonder, what are people going to do with me when I have to lose weight? I'm fat. I'm 330 pounds is my actual weight. I say 300 on my profile. I lie. I weigh a lot. I'm fat. It's affecting my health. Last year, I'll go ahead and say it here on this now. Last year, I had to start on testosterone shots because my testosterone was fucked up. I'm a porn star. I should be able to get hard when I want to get hard. And I couldn't. And I was having, me and Bailey, we did fairly well, but I had to work really hard to maintain our sex life the way I wanted to. And out of nowhere, my testosterone started dropping. Out of nowhere, I went to the doctor and he says, you know, you're like in the 100s and you're supposed to be like in the 400 or 500s, whatever the scale for that is, up to 800. And I was obviously bottom of the barrel, so I had to start getting shots for it. And I had to lose a little bit of weight. I did lose a little bit of weight. And I had to start eating better. And I still maintain the majority of what I started doing, even though I'm staying steady. But at some point, I'm going to have to lose a pretty big amount of my weight.
Right.
I'm 36 now. As I march towards 40, now's the time to do it. Because it's going to get harder and harder as I get older.
Right.
And I'm only going to have more health problems. I've got a ganglion cyst growing in my foot right now. It's a teeny tiny little thing. It's just inside one of my tendons. And I have to go get that looked at. I have, my knees hurt, my back hurts, my, you know, little things you start noticing as you start marching towards age,
right.
You know, that start popping up, but I think they are magnified by my weight. You know, I'm going to have to lose weight at some point. I know that's going to shoot me in the foot as far as being able to get laid by some people, and maybe it'll open doors to some other people, but who knows? But I'm going to have to face some of that situation too in my own little realm of minor celebrity.
So here's my challenge to you though, Hadrian, is how do you know that hasn't already happened though?
In what way? You mean like that my weight, as I've gotten bigger, has affected my ability?
Absolutely, because,
it has.
Because looking at your work over the years, it throws me off. When you do a Throwback Thursday sometimes on Tumblr, and you post a picture of like from your Marine days, and I'm kind of like, my God, I hardly even recognize you. I'm like, I'm like, it's only in the face, if I pay attention to the eyes, that I really, like, I'm like, all right, that really is Hadrian. Because otherwise, I'd have been like, I don't know who that boy is, and I wouldn't want 2 seconds of his time, let alone 20 minutes of his time or whatever.
You know, I remember being 190 pounds and 19 and having snuck into the Lone Star Saloon as a Marine, with my really cross-cropped head and a shaven face, and being completely ignored, being surrounded by all these bears that I recognized from pictures that I, you know, got on the internet or whatever at the time. And seeing all these really hot, steaming guys, and them wanting absolutely zero to do with me. And I'm me sitting in the corner, trying not to draw too much attention, because I feel like I am like a heartbeat away from being thrown out because I'm 19. But they didn't check IDs back then. So I'm just sitting there, this kind of, and then some, oh God, my cat.
What, Pearl?
But then I remember this daddy bear, like, just homing in on me. That's what I want, right? That's what I came here for and didn't expect to find at the Lone Star. He homed in on me, and he took me to this place. We had amazing sex. And as I got older, I eventually hit this point where there was some mass, more number of people who really wanted to sleep with me. And then as I got bigger, some of those people dropped off, and other people noticed me. Like, there are some people that didn't want anything to do with me when I weighed 250 or so, and then now that I've got a really nice belly and everything, they're like, oh, you're exactly what I wanted. I've seen some of your porns and I wasn't into you, but I'm into you the way you are now. So it's always going to flux back and forth. There's always going to be, I'm going to pick up a few extras. I'm going to lose a few extras. You know, with the pounds come the people.
So I find that interesting. How do you feel about that, knowing from what you just said as an example, it sounds like people have actually told you, because your body's different now, I find you attractive now, but I didn't before. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I would feel if somebody asked me that. So that's why I'm asking you, like, have you thought about that at all? And like, how do you...
I don't know. It is unusual. Like, that I'm bigger and I'm, you know, quote unquote, more unhealthy. And I do feel that way, that I live a more unhealthy lifestyle. Or at least I'm more unhealthy as a result of my lifestyle choices and food and you know, the way I live and that kind of thing. And my sedentary job and lifestyle. I'm like, okay, so I do something unhealthy and that makes me hotter to you? That doesn't quite compute for me. I do understand where people get their urges and that kind of stuff. I do get it. It's like people who are attracted to people who smoke or, you know, or dip or whatever they do, or drink really heavy. You know, there are people who are attracted to things that aren't healthy because of, you know, there's a certain other aspect of it that's really fun. Like, oh, they're more cuddly. Oh, they have warmer bodies. They have different smells. There's all this other host of things come on. It's not the cause. It's the effect they're attracted to. And you know, it took me a minute to wrap my head around that, and that's what I had to understand, is that, you know, okay, there's all these other host of things that people like about me, like the, you know, as where if they hugged me when I was 190 pounds, they were going to get a fistful of ribs, as where if they hug me now, they're going to get a whole lot of chub to hold on to. So it's, you know, it's a different aspect of what they get from the experience with me.
How are people hugging you? How
do you get a handful of ribs? You know what I'm saying? When they wrap their arms around, it's a metaphor.
Because he's smaller, their hands actually go all the way around. See, so they encompass back to the front so they can feel the ribs on the sides.
Gotcha.
That was so cute, Bailey. For the audience, he was doing this hand motion like, how do you just hug a rib cage? Like, how do you... like, just like, he's so tiny. We just grab him this way. Kind of a thing.
But at the same time, there were people funny. I lost. It was hard for me to wrap my brain around why people weren't attracted to me anymore. There was a few people that I would hang out with, and like daddy bears, and I'd only see them once every few years or so. We'd hook up, and they were married or whatever. And then they'd hook up with me again. I'm like, oh, well, you got so big. I'm like, fuck. That really hurts. And wow. I never expected this. That guy, and he's like, well, I liked you when you were like 220 pounds and you were kind of muscular and you had a little belly, but now you're all belly and I don't like that. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I ran into a guy at Bear Bash here in Orlando last summer, and I've known this man for 13 or 14 years. I knew him when he was married and kids and everything, and he's this really hot smoking daddy bear with this big dick, and he's gotten older. Now he's a big old hot grandpa bear. And he was 100% not interested in me. He was like, oh, it's good to see you again. I'm glad you're doing well. He was very cordial. He was very polite. He wasn't rude or anything. Like, oh, you're fatty, fat, fat now. It wasn't like that, of course. But he did. You know, he said, wow, you've definitely grown up to be quite a daddy now. And that was his way of saying, you're barking up the wrong tree, young man, or used to be young man.
But the way I see it, like, I'm happy at the weight I'm at. I don't really care the weight that I'm at, as long as I'm knocking people off my bucket list and things like that. Like, I'm having sex with the people I want to have sex with because they find me attractive. I, as long as I'm healthy, I'm happy. And all of my numbers from my yearly physical came back. They were great numbers, you know, strong as a horse, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to go to the gym. But I know that I need to start preparing as I approach 30 and, you know, 40 down the road and everything, that I need to start preparing because my numbers are not going to be as great. And I know right now it's not really the case. So I don't really have the motivation to get up and go to the gym. However, all of these people, because I started off when I was playing paintball, I was, you know, a lean guy and started meeting people in the community, and people did taper off and fall off, and I did add more people that were into me. And the people that I want to sleep with who are only into skinny or muscular guys, still on my bucket list, but I kind of have a little footnote, and this is all mental, I don't have an actual, like, physical, but I have that footnote where I'm like, whenever you do decide to lose all this weight and put on some muscle, then start talking to them again. Because it's just because they're not into you now because you're big doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to never be into you for the rest of your life. I find that the only people that I don't really are there, there's still people who, you know, you and I are, you know, all three of us are too small for, you know, those are usually the only ones where I'm like, well, I don't really plan on putting on any more weight.
Right.
I may inadvertently, but you know, the chubs and gainers and all that want me to put on weight before, those are usually the ones I'm kind of like, eh, probably won't ever be able to meet your requirements, but
right,
you know, it's, he's talked to me before about younger cubs and everything in the community. Like, you can't just blow people off because you guys are going to be in the community for the rest of your lives. You're going to run into each other at bear events. Yeah, right now they may be like a cashier at a retail place and not be able to go and do all the same stuff that we do, but they're not going to be in that position forever. You are going to cross paths with them again. You want to make sure you make, you know, decent impressions with people. And it's the same thing, even though they're not into me right now, I may have a different body later. So it's not necessarily cross them off the bucket list, just kind of put them on the back burner. I don't think, try not to take anything super to heart, especially we're kind of in a community based on physical appearance. So you can't get too hurt when people don't like your physical appearance. Try not to be too hurt anyways. I don't know.
That's why on Growler, when Twinks talk to me, little 21-year-old Twinks want to talk to me, I'm 100% nice to them. I'll flirt with them. I'll be nice. I'll tell them honestly. I'm like, you're not the size that I'm interested in. Because in 10 years, in 5 years even, it could even be, guys can gain a lot of weight in a year. But it could be in a few years from now, I might run into them again. And I'll see them at a bear event, and you know, and they've put on some weight or some muscle, whatever they've done, they've changed, and my taste may change. I've noticed that as I get older, I have a greater tolerance for younger guys. You know, they're not as idiotic to me. They are still idiots. They're just not. I have a thicker skin towards their young antics. And I find myself being able to be attracted to even a little bit of a smaller guy too, and my taste could change where I'm just in the full-on Twinks someday. I don't know. My taste could just change. It could happen. But, or they could get bigger, and then suddenly the thing is there. But I don't want them to be able to say to me, hey, I talked to you on Growler one time, and you were a complete asshole. I don't ever want to hear that come out of someone's mouth in 5 years.
Right.
I want them to remember me and say, you were nice, and you were flirty, and you said you were into bigger guys, and here I am now, and I'm a bigger guy.
It's funny that you say that, Hadrian, because something happened this year that completely kind of knocked me back. Someone came to my event 2 years ago, and then I ran into them at Kentucky for North American Bear in February. I did not recognize them. They instantly knew who I was. They knew that I was in charge of my event, that they had met me at my event, like said hello. You know, and it wasn't a thing like we hooked up or anything. It was just that they knew who I was because I was in charge of the event and the committee and so on. So I'm in Lexington and we meet outside and he's there with his current boyfriend. And he comes up and he's like, oh, hey, Gary, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, hi. Like, and I'm doing my very generic, like, hi, nice to see you, so on and so forth. And he actually says to me, he's like, do you remember me? And I have this rule that always bites me in the ass. And I'm like, I will be honest. I will not lie because that lie will get me into further trouble down the road when I can't answer questions or say things, you know, that are relatable. So I said, I'll be honest. Because he said, do you remember me? And I said, I'll be honest, not really. And he's like, oh. But it wasn't like that. It was a truly dejected, like,
aww,
I can't believe you don't remember who I am. And I'm like, and instantly I was like, ouch.
Yeah. Like, breaks my heart every time.
I'm like, and I was torn up because I was like, there was a part of me instantly that was mad because I was like, this is not my fault. Like, you can't hold me responsible for my brain not working to remember who the hell you are. So one of my committee members was there and we were rooming together and I said to him, I said, hey, so-and-so, you know, we met outside and stuff. And he goes, yeah. And he says, don't you remember him? And I was like, no. So we have this conversation, my committee member and I, and he helps me remember who this person is. And we're talking and he says, hold on, so-and-so. He's like, I know you met him. You talked to him for a brief amount of time during the run. No, you didn't really make a connection per se, but like this and that. And I was like, yeah, but he seemed really dejected that I didn't remember him. So he shows me a picture of him from then And instantly I remembered it. And the reason why I didn't remember him was because he changed so much physically in 2 years. He put on probably a good 20-some pounds and grew a beard. The last time I saw him... Right, Bailey's like making this motion like, what the fuck? Like, right. So it's like, yeah, you looked very differently at the time. And, you know, we're basically, in a way, physically different. So I actually approached him at one point and was like, listen, I just have to get this off my chest and you don't have to say a word. I feel bad about our interaction that you asked if I remembered you and I said I didn't. And then my committee member and I talked at length. He helped remember who you are and when we met and where we met. And I have to tell you, you changed in the past couple of years since the last time I saw you. And that isn't a bad thing. I think that you look great the way you do now. But that's why my brain screwed up in outside the hotel in the parking lot, and I can't remember who the hell you are, because no offense, you don't look like as I last recalled seeing you, and we haven't really talked since then. Mm-hmm. Like, one brief chat on Bear 411 does not make, you know, me remember this individual from that standpoint. I mean, it's like, but I really festered about it for the time I was there, because in the back of my head, part of me is like, I'm in charge of this event, and I don't want to screw up, like, you know, potential of people that come and enjoy the event, and so on and so forth. And in my neck of the woods, because I've been doing the event for so long, I'm starting to recognize very uncomfortably that I'm known because of the event. So there's this weird, like, you know, I don't want to say celebrity, but it's like you just kind of become known. Like, I'm sure there's people like in Atlanta, Georgia, that are kind of known because they've been hosting events or doing things in the community. Absolutely. For a long time, just like DC and New York and SD and all that. Like, they're just people that are kind of, well, like Gaeta is known in SD by a ton of people just because of who he is and what he does.
Gaeta is known worldwide.
Well, I wasn't. That's true.
That man is known.
That's true, because he just posted stuff he was in Tokyo.
But, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that I think about. So I was really kind of, like, concerned about it, because I will own, there's a little bit of a
bottom picture is Mike Yeager.
Image thing.
On the wall over there.
And there was a part of me that was like, you know, I wanted to not begin something that isn't something. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't worry about that with everybody. There is a point where I'm just kind of like, you know what, fuck this. I don't give a shit. Like, if you have a bad attitude or you think that I was being rude to you or whatever, there's a possibility, but it's not likely. I very much changed, I would hope, in the course of my life from my 20s to my 30s and now into my 40s, where I don't harbor ill will. There was a time in my life that I really had some anger issues and mouthed off about stuff. And now it's kind of like, no, like, I want people to enjoy life and be fun and, mm-hmm. you know, and happy and all that kind of shit. And I don't really do anything to harm other people. But when they kind of get disjointed and I'm kind of like, and in this case, I felt it was something I had control over. Like, granted, I can't control his thoughts and emotions, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but I kind of precipitated it. Like, I didn't see it coming that he was going to feel the way he did by me not remembering him from that standpoint. And my point is, I find it interesting that when people change, how we handle that and how we deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like, well, like I was talking to you, Bailey, about like the first girl that I ever dated, we're friends on Facebook, and she has this picture, and I'm kind of like, well, I'm happy for her that, you know, that she's lost weight and she's been running and stuff. She took this pose, like, and I was just kind of like, what are you doing? Like, there's a part of me that really wants to send her a private message and be like, hey, girl, so I realized, like, you were just being silly and kind of taking a selfie, but you have young girls, like, you know, teenage-ish age and stuff, and this is really kind of, you know, borderlining on a, do you want your girls, like, duplicating, like, what you were just doing? Because to me, this looks like an exact ad that I would see on a 900 singles hotline.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's just kind of like, and I feel awkward, but like I told Bailey, I'm like, we don't really talk privately all that much, so there's part of me that's like, you know, it's not my life. It's not really my place to, like, butt in and be like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting to see how we look at people and we take that stuff into account, you know, how that's important to some people and in a certain aspect of things when it comes to that. I'm curious about something, Bailey, because you were talking about change and people knowing who you are. Have you found in the years that you've been with Hadrian experiences of handling people, like, only talking and wanting to interact with Hadrian because of who he is? Or treating you a specific way because of that? Or has that not really been...
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it happens, like, weekly. Oh, it happens a lot. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to say favorite things, because it actually annoys me, is when people are like, oh, yeah, you're Hadrian's boyfriend. I'm like, that's what it says on my birth certificate. Like, because I'm a little sharp when it comes to that. Because there's no reason, like, introduce yourself. Bailey. Oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. I came over to talk to you because I know Hadrian and you're dating Hadrian. Like, don't... The first impression you make with me, suddenly it puts me in the shadow of Hadrian. Which is fine, it's a nice shadow to be in and everything. But don't stake my entire... you know, who I am, my you know, my person, my being, on Hadrian. Because, you know, I'm an individual. So it kind of annoys me when I get stuff like that. I've also had people that have tried to... that actually have no interest in me, but feign interest in me to get his contact information. A more intimate contact information than what he gets. People are like, oh, well, yeah, blah, 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 if you want to, you know... give me your and Hadrian's number. I can talk to you, or, you know, we can...
Right.
And stuff like that's frustrating, you know? Because you said that I was kind of like a mystery or an anomaly or anything. I don't particularly like being in the limelight. There's no reason for it. I'm not an introvert or anything like that. I like to have control of the situations. I like to be on level playing fields with people when I meet them, whereas Hadrian is, in my eyes, usually at a disadvantage to people because these people know his name, probably where he lives, what his dick's like, how he fucks, how he sucks dick, like all of this stuff, and I like being on level playing fields with people. So when I run into those types of people, I try to leave the best impression that I can, but I immediately... walls up and start off annoyed with them. And I tend to be able to hide that really well, but I think it's probably, I don't know, all of us in the Battered Wives Club of Bear Liberties.
Well, like Venice Cub. Venice Cub's boyfriend, and his name is venicecubsboyfriend.tumblr.com.
Yeah, he actually
he did.
Because
he did.
Of the joke. Because it's the same thing. We get the same thing where it's like, oh yeah, you're Venice Cub's boyfriend. And he's like, yeah, that's my name.
And Venice Cub's boyfriend, his name's Anthony. He is the sweetest, most wonderful person, one of those wonderful people I've ever met. He's so forward and funny and smart, and he's just a joy to be around. I can hang out with him all day long. And he's a smaller guy, too. He's not someone I would normally be physically attracted to. But he's so much... he exudes so much wonderfulness in every aspect of him. I find him sexually attractive. And he's just he's a lot of fun to hang out with. And he holds his own. Like, I'm sure he gets approached all the time when people figure out he's Venice Cub's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They want to get the Venice Cub, and they want to go through him. And if you're into Venice Cub, there's a chance you may not be into Anthony. And he accepts that. He knows that. And he has all these defenses in order to do that, to handle that very, very gracefully. And he's not nearly as polite as Bailey is sometimes, I think. But he does a really good job. But Bailey and I, we're very physically alike, too. So they could be in either one of us, or they could just be laser-focused on me because of something they saw online.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, kind of... like, I don't mean to come across as if I'm, like, being snarky to people right off the bat, because I'm usually not. I'm pretty polite with people. But I do find that... When you see Hadrian and I mean, I'm 6'4", like 6'3 and a half, and what are you like, 6 foot?
Six two.
Okay, but you know, we're similar stature. Anytime we go out to eat at a restaurant, people think we're twins and stuff like
really
that.
Creepy.
Or brothers.
It's kind of hot, but it's kind of creepy.
So
the brothers thing I kind of get, but you guys are like, you are definitively taller, Bailey, than Hadrian is.
Oh yeah.
Like
sitting down at a restaurant side by side.
But it's weird. Unless you have like a specific fetish or like a characteristic that you can pinpoint and say, I am really into this, that one or the other of us has and doesn't share, there's really no reason for you to say, oh, I'm into Hadrian and not Bailey, except for, you know, the persona that Hadrian puts out there or the work that Hadrian's done or things like that. With maybe the exception of the age thing. If maybe you're not into 20-year-olds, quote-unquote, or you're only into daddies, if you can call a 36-year-old a daddy. But that's why when people are, you know, approach me and they seem to only be into Hadrian, it kind of makes me wonder, like, what's wrong with me? because we look the same, mm-hmm. you know, or for the most part, there's a very small realm or a small realm of reasons as to why you would not be into me and into Adrian. Whereas Anthony and Mike are completely different. I mean, they're, you know, Mike Finniscub, people know what he looks like. Anthony is a little muscle,
yeah,
ottery type guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually the people aren't into both of them. They're into one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I think I still grapple with it a little bit, kind of where I'm like, well, why are they only into Hadrian? Maybe it's because of the personality or the, like you said earlier, the person that you build up in their mind. They want this charismatic, outgoing person to fool around with, and they don't really know me, and they don't really know me as that type of person. Whereas Anthony, when, because he gets it a lot too, where people are trying to hook up with Venice Cub through Anthony, Anthony's just like, oh, whatever, they're, you know, they're into him, they're not into me. You know, he's very easily able to brush it off as not a big deal.
That's interesting to me, because I'm intrigued by the not taking offense concept or issue, because I guess it's part of the, it comes with the package. Like, if you're going to be in this relationship with this person and you know that they're known, whatever the realm is, quote unquote, whether you call it celebrity or whatever, you kind of recognize, well, that's part of the deal, you know, like that's part of who this person is. They are known at to this awareness level, this platform, whatever the hell you want to call it. And that's part of it. I find that very intriguing, because I have recognized that I would love to be, you know, with somebody who is an absolutely, you know, sex pot looking partner. But there's a part of me that also recognizes, like, I don't know how I could deal with that. Like, if I would really be okay with the world, quote unquote, in loose terms, you know, being interested in somebody. Do you know what I mean? Right. You know, and not, and be able to recognize it is purely because of whatever that thing is. But notably, something different or something similar kind of happened many years ago. A guy that I was dating from St. Louis came to an event that I was hosting in Pittsburgh. And one of the guys who is helping me with the event, my ex, David, walks away. And this, you know, friend of mine, like, makes sure that David's nowhere near an earshot. It was the funniest thing. And I'm kind of like, what the hell are you doing? Like, they were acting kind of weird. And they lean in and go, okay, I have something that I really need to tell you, and I realize this is probably really inappropriate. And I'm like, whatever, just spit it out. And he goes, your boyfriend's really fucking hot. And I was like, good, he should be. And they just looked at me and blinked, and I was like, I don't know how else to sound other than douchebaggy about this, but I only date hot guys. Mm-hmm. Like, and they just kind of looked at me stunned, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm kind of particular about the guys that I date, and I don't know how else to say that. Like, I don't think I have the best eye in the world, but I'd like to think that if I find them attractive, that other people would find them attractive. I don't know how else to say that.
I agree, and I've gotten that because of, but I also see tons of people get that, and anybody in couples where they're like, oh wow, your boyfriend's really hot, and the only response you have is like, I know, like
like I see it every day, I'm well aware. Like, yeah. You know, like this is the reality realm, you know. Yes, I go to bed with this. Yes, I wake up with this. That is that.
Because mm-hmm. I still haven't met the person that's like, what? Oh, that's why I like him. He's hot. Right, okay. Makes sense.
Thank you for pointing that out to me. I didn't realize.
Gotcha. All this time I was obsessed with his cooking skills. It just did not occur to me that the looks department was really the thing that was tripping my trigger in this case.
But I feel like they almost say it expecting that reaction. Like, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's like when I'm trying to tell him, like, some cool article I read, and he already read the article. I'm like, man, I wanted to break news to you. They want to, like, be breaking news with you. And they're like, hey, he's hot.
Yeah. And I always think, I always took it as confirmation. Like, I sent somebody a picture of me and Bailey together, and they're like, oh, he's hot. I'm like, I know, right? Just to kind of, I always feel like they're doing it to agree with me, and that I sent them a picture. I'm like, I'm showing you my boyfriend, are you into us both, kind of thing. And they're just kind of giving me that answer. I don't think I've ever sent a photo to someone and then be like, oh, well, he's okay. Or anything like that. Everybody, you can't call someone baby ugly.
Oh, yeah, nobody does. I get pictures of couples where I'm not into one of them all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are really hot.
Yeah, I've done it too.
And I'm just like, put that there and remember that. And be like, Only talk to him when his boyfriend's out of town or when he's by
himself. I'm talking to a couple. I'm talking to the bear of a chub and bear couple. I'm talking to the bear. I'm like, oh, you see your boyfriend? Oh, he's kind of too big for me. What if Bailey would like? Because Bailey likes guys a little bit bigger than I do sometimes. And so I'll be like, oh, maybe we can work this out. You know, sometimes it's a matter of... And I'll even say, I'm like, I think Bailey will be really into him.
DM.
I know, right? You got to play those angles.
Well, it's funny that you say that. I don't know if we've discussed this before on the podcast. I don't think we have. I have a personal rule about couples. Mm-hmm. And it is, after experience over the years, I've come to this thing that if I'm not interested in both of the people, it's just a no-go. Like, if they have... Because there's been this... Unless it's definitively, squarely... explained that we are open and solo is okay, it just is too odd for me. Invariably, there's this like psychodynamic about their relationship, and because of experiences that I've had, where I'll give you an example of one that happened. So I meet up with this couple, it's at a campground, they're seasonals there, whatever. And so the one's really interested in me. That's great. So we're chatting, we're talking, so on and so forth. We go back to the trailer. Great. So we go back to the trailer. Things are progressing. The partner shows up. But the partner doesn't show up like, hey, I need a refill of my beverage, you know, or anything.
Did he swing the door open? You bitch!
No, he just decides to join.
Oh.
Unannounced. And I'm like, one, I didn't realize that he was going to randomly possibly show up. And two, I'm not interested in him. Like, he's not physically... appealing to me. And he's not, I mean, he's not repulsive, but I'm just like, meh, not really, you know, turning my trigger. But because he's decided to insert himself, and I notably probably don't have a strong enough personality, I don't turn to him and say, this isn't really kind of a you thing. Because I'm in their RV, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like
right,
in their
yeah.
space. Like, I don't think that's the right thing to say. So this is where I learned the lesson. So he starts to get involved, and then I go through this fucked up thing in my head where I'm like, okay, so I'm playing with the one that I'm interested in, and then it comes a point where I'm like, oh, I need to not continue to do this because this is going to get weird, because then his partner might get upset or jealous because I'm putting all the focus on him and not on his partner, and I don't know what the deal is, like, if there's an issue. So then I start paying attention to the partner I'm not interested in, and then I'm like, wait, I don't want the one that I'm interested in to think I'm not interested in him because now I'm paying attention to things. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, and after a certain point, I was like, and I realized what I was doing, and then I was like, and I'm out. Like, I just kind of, like, no one really got off, and I decided to leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm out of here, because this is too fucked up in my head to make sense of, because no one, including me, is really, like, kind of defining stuff or explaining things. So that's kind of the rule I've created over the years, is, like, if there's a couple or whatever, unless it's clearly explained and stated in some fashion, like, I'm interested in you, you're interested in me, it will only be the two of us. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, I'm kind of like, no, like... And couples that are like, we're a package deal. I'm like, that's nice. Good for you. Like, glad you know that about you, but I'm not, you know. It's very rare that I'm interested in both individuals. And I only say that because a lot of couples, as you were just describing about your similarities, I don't see that in a lot of couples. I don't see the similarities. I see a lot of distinctive differences between the two. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, there's a reason why I'm interested in the one. Like, no offense, you're not twins. You know what I mean? Like, whatever that, like... paradigm fantasy as a lot of us have, but anyways, I find it interesting. So this just for me personally, that's kind of a thing that's developed over the years. I'm like, you know, unless it's understood. And it's funny because other people are like, I don't want to be involved with a couple because, you know, blah blah blah, and I'm kind of like, oh, I don't give a shit about that. I don't give a shit about them and their relationship and the whole, like, you know, are they going to be happy or is one cheating on the other? That's not my, like, whatever, you know. Yeah. Someone wants to label me as a homewrecker, fuck off.
When I was younger, I would avoid three-ways. I didn't like three-ways because I could barely walk and chew bubblegum. I can't handle two. I would be in three-ways, and I felt so overwhelmed because both couples would be focused on me so much, I couldn't get anything good to focus on because there was just too much going on.
Right.
So I would deal with that when I was younger, and I started enjoying more, and I did have some situations where I'd be playing with one and some other partner would show up, and I did... No, I'm a bit of a commanding kind of person when it comes to situations. And I would turn to the partner that came in that was kind of invading, that I really wasn't into, and I would just blow them. I would just put all focus on them. You get off, and then you can leave, and then I can be left with the one that I actually want to play with. And that sounds awful, and it is, But it was, it helped me get where I wanted to go, and that was alone time with the hot one.
And so I disagree with the concept of, you know, that that's awful. I'm like, no, that's strategy.
Yeah.
That's gameplay. Like, to me, that makes sense. I'm not saying that I would necessarily do it, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Looking at that situation, I'd be like, oh, well, you found a means to an end. You were just like, oh, apparently I have to overcome this hurdle, and this is how I'm going to do it, and then move on from there.
You force yourself onto the stage. Here's your consolation prize. You don't get the VIP treatment the other guy gets. And that's, and that, I can make it sound awful.
Well, when we were talking about it before, and I said that, you know, I just pretty much across the board always like, oh, well, you guys are a cute couple, because, and I wasn't going to get into it because I couldn't think of an example, but what you're talking about with that instance is exactly the downside to saying, oh, both of you are hot, because even though you did not explicitly say I'm only into you, I'm on the flip side and you know, explicitly said I'm into both of you. So now not only is he in there, but in his mind he has a right to be there because I'm into both of them. So I have the same, like,
I never predicted that you would be into both people and then be confounded by what do I do with who, because I'm like to me, I guess I'm more of the yay, you know, like we all win, hopefully, like, you know what I mean, like, we'll figure this out somehow.
But then also coming from your kind of point of view, where I know what it's like to be that person who's not into both of them, and then having the other couple show up, I've had it happen where I'm playing with someone who's not into Hadrian, and Hadrian's walked in the room, which is a completely different, you know, it's a different side of the whole story. And at that point, I get to see where it goes in this Cubs or Bears head. Is he going to say that, you know, he was really only here to play with me and he's not really into Hadrian? Or is he going to put himself in that situation that you were in?
Because
I don't really care, because I'm already naked with him and I'm having fun. So if he wants to keep his mouth shut and just suck it up and play with Hadrian, who he's not into, I win even more, because I love seeing Hadrian naked too. So I'm like, yay!
Now, have I done that? Have I walked in on you and kind of pushed myself into
That's
that?
Interesting.
I don't think I have I?
Yes.
When did I do that?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm still curious, though. I don't remember. I do know I've walked in and I've been like, okay, I'm just going to let myself out of this.
Yeah, and
I've come in and flirted for a second and left.
There's been times where twice that I can think of where you came in and you were under the impression that the guy was into both of us because he was giving us the impression that he was into both of us. But,
I know
but
exactly
then
what you're talking about now.
Once we were separated, he made it clear that he was really only into me.
And not both of you.
And it's never happened the other way, where he's playing with someone who's not into me and I've walked in, because I always walk out or try to do something, whatever I came in there to do, like grab keys or whatever, and get out of there, because I'm aware that that's a possibility. So I go for the safe route and make sure that I'm not making anybody uncomfortable. But, you know, we've shared hotel rooms now for 5 years of events. We walk in with each other doing stuff all the time. And we were even talking earlier about walking in on him in the bathroom doing with something. And I had to, like, legitimately piss, like, bad. And he was fooling around with someone in the bathroom. I was like, like, washed my hands and left, you know. So it's try not to interrupt it, but it does happen.
Yeah, and the opposite happens too, where somebody won't want to play with him because he's with me, they think things about porn stars or the kind of stature that I have or anything else they want to give. You know, how promiscuous I may have been, or who I was in the past, who I was in my 20s, it might not be who I am today, or something they knew about me. And that will put them off on Bailey. So Bailey has to carry some of the weight of my reputation as well, which isn't always a positive thing.
So, in other words, one interpretation is that, you know, people think that you're just this walking meatbag of STIs, and
absolutely,
that's why they won't have anything to do with Hadrian.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Bailey. Or Bailey.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much exactly what he was beating around the bush.
Yes,
that's awful, because I was trying to be funny about that, and the sooner that I said it, I was like, wow, I couldn't even pull it off trying to be funny.
No, because it's not a funny
You hit the nail on the head.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no way to make that one funny. If people think that I've got HIV or herpes or hepatitis or hepatogorea, and they think he has it too.
But at the same time, like, that actually doesn't bother me, because if they think he has HIV and they won't play with me because they think I have HIV, I don't really want to play with somebody that's, like, uneducated about STIs in the first place.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with you. To me, as soon as you started to say that, Bailey, not to cut you off, I was like, good riddance. Like, bye, Felicia. Ain't got time to for you and your mental educational state, whatever it is that you're making this presumption about XYZ, you know, that because we're a couple, there's an automatic, you know.
Because half of it is the STIs, and then the other half of it is this mentality that people built up in their head because Hadrian does porn, and they think he's a porn star, and they think he's, like, you know, he's just a porn star. He's dumb, just has a dick and uses it and stuff like that. And I've had people come to me and think that because I'm dating that I'm probably the same way. I'm just some dumb 26-year-old or whatever. And it doesn't bother me then either, because I was like, okay, well, if you got to know me, you know that I wouldn't be, so we're not going to be friends. I'm like, but I have a big dick. And then if they're like... But then at that point, if they still don't want to sleep with me, then I'm like, okay, well...
So, I am so blown away by this, because I'm in the opposite camp. I would not think that way at all. My intimidation mental state would be like, this man gets paid to have sex, and in order to do that, and to do it repeatedly over time, don't take this wrong, decades, like, you're not quite at 20 years, but, you know, at 10, 12, or however many years... In my head, I go in the opposite direction, and I'm like, we're kind of like talking about the 10,000 hours thing here. Like, we're getting to a point where this person, Hadrian, no offense, is becoming a subject matter expert at doing this thing. That's why we have you on the podcast for the Let's Talk About Sex stuff, because I feel that you are qualified more than just some Joe Schmo that we, you know, that is a fan, you know, that happens to call in or whatever. But at the same time, I tie Bailey into that, because in my head, I'm like, well, if you guys are an established couple and you're having sex on a regular basis, which I believe you are, therefore, Bailey would benefit from the quote-unquote, this is all in my head, educational experience that you provide. Bailey would be reciprocal to that and vice versa. So therefore, you two are like powerhouse bookends of like knowing what to do, and that to me would be intimidating. Do you see where I'm going, like, in the opposite direction?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, hell no. Like, can't compete, not even, and I know it's not competing, but like... Not my wheelhouse, and like, gotta go find somebody who knows nothing.
And yes, I like to think that I'm pretty good at sex before Hadrian, and I've taught him stuff, I'm sure, and he's taught me stuff, and it's, you know, we've grown better and stronger, and what?
Oh, yeah. We've definitely gotten a lot better over the years.
So that brings up, going back to the things I was curious about with the interview, is where do you see your relationship going in the future? Because you've spent the 5 years together now, and so you've had this journey. We know about how you guys met. You've spent the time together. You've recently, well, a year ago, graduated, and you guys are about to make a big cross-country move. You guys are going to move back to, well, you're moving back to San Diego. You're traveling along for the first time to really kind of live in that area for a length of time. Because from the sounds of it, you've visited several times and been to the, so you get the layout, so to speak, of San Diego and that. Where have you guys talked about that? Like, what is your pursuits? And I'll give you some jumping off points. For example, because I'm personally remotely curious about this. Marriage, kids, like are these things that are kind of in your discussions or not, and or not? And like I told you before, if you guys don't want to talk about it, that's fine. It's just, I think to me it's sort of natural, and that's only because you guys are in the 5 to 10 year range. So to me, when you've established a relationship, once you hit the 5 year mark, you are now entering into the longevity potential phase. So these things start to become like, where do we want to go? What do we want to do? What is it that we forecast for the future? Do we want to open a, you know, senior citizen complex for LGBT persons, you know, as they get older, so, you know, we can, you know, have a place to live together and do show tunes on Sundays or whatever? Or, you know, do you want to, because we have, you know, couples that have fostered adopted kids. In fact, they'll be coming up for a Father's Day show. Spoiler alert, in a couple of weeks, that I'm proud of knowing, and that because it was an aspect of the community I wasn't necessarily aware of. And I think we've kind of touched on a little bit. I mean, you have a cat, so you have a child, quote unquote, in the home, so to speak. But is any of that stuff that you guys have kind of thought of or talked about in a way?
We've glossed over a lot of those conversations. We tend to take things one big project at a time. And our big project right now is the move. The next big project will be establishing ourselves. He's at the beginning of his career.
Right.
He's worked for a while now, and he's about to do something with his he has a electrical engineering degree. He's going to start spinning up. So he's doing that. I'm entering a very serious part of my career too. I think we'll be probably in a career building phase for the next little bit. We've talked about some of the other points you mentioned. We've got a rough plan, and we're executing it as it seems like it's the best time to do it. We take a blizzard approach when it's ready.
So
that makes sense.
For me, the way that I see it, I've always known that we were going to move to San Diego. We didn't really have a date until like January. I think we decided this July 1st move date. It was arbitrary at that point, but now it just makes sense. But I've known that for as long as Hadrian moved here, because he's always expressed ideas that he wants to move back to San Diego, that he thought San Diego was home. And every time that I went, and I visited a lot, and I actually spent a whole month there last year in between graduation and starting my job, and I have always, I don't know where it started, but I've always told like people that I wanted to move to California for as long as I can remember. So it works out. I really like San Diego. I love the people out there. I love the culture. So I was totally down with it. Now the job that I've been working on, or the job that I've been, wow, why can I not phrase it? The job that I've been working up until now, I've always known that it had an expiration date on it because we were going to move. So I never considered this. I took this job because it was an opportunity for me to make money with a big company for the move. It's not exactly electrical engineering per se. It's essentially glorified IT, but they all call themselves computer engineers and all that stuff. So I plan on moving out there and getting a career started, and I'm looking forward to having no expiration date on my job, where the next job, I could be there 5 years or 10 years, or I could move up and become a project manager of the company or something like that. And I think at that point, once I have a job that doesn't have the expiration date, is kind of when I can start doing the other things that normal adults my age do. It's like, now I've got the career, essentially, because I don't plan on being fired anytime soon. Now is kind of the next thing. And I would like to start investing, because I'm very number oriented and everything. So I want to start investing. And I think a good investment would be to maybe purchase a house in the market that it's in now. And I think that's kind of a cool settling down thing for Hadrian and I. And it kind of, you know, puts roots down. We've also talked about kids and stuff like that. And an interesting aspect of our relationship, while the 9.5 year difference doesn't make a huge difference, because we're, I don't know, we meet in the middle as far as interests and everything go, it does give an interesting obstacle for having kids, because, you know, there's at some point, I don't want Hadrian to be 70 or 80 when our kids graduate in college, you know, so there is kind of a window on there, and I would like to hit the window. We've talked about surrogacy, we've talked about adopting, we talked about fostering, and like he said, we kind of take things one at a time, and I think right now he's focused on the move, because that's the next big thing. He's transferring his position, so he's like, work, 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 move, work, 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 work. Whereas I am dreading giving my notice at work and quitting, because it's my first job that I'm quitting, that I have to quit elegantly and make sure I take recommendation forwards and stuff like that. So for me, I see it like work, work, quit, move, find a job, work, 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 work. So we're both at kind of different points in the dreading process. I think Hadrian can probably look a little further forward than I can. And something that we didn't talk about is the marriage thing. And the reason we don't talk about it is because it's kind of our fun little, you know, we want it, it's going to happen, but neither one of us is revealing how or when the other one of us is planning on doing it or anything like that, because it's still an air of mystery, and it's still something that...
It's the last secret.
We still drop it every once in a while, because we have these the first TBRU, he bought me a ring, and he bought himself a ring too, and he tried to do it all sly, where he was like, oh, I think I'll get one of these, and it's two for whatever, maybe you want one too, and I'm kind of like, sure, whatever, because we're both smitten at that point and trying not to show our hand. So I have these rings, and every once in a while he'll be like, oh yeah, maybe you'll get it replaced soon with a new one, you know, little things like that, and it kind of makes us like all giddy and everything. So we probably won't talk about that a whole lot, just because it, like, I think he said it perfectly, it's our last secrets.
It's so funny, but the way it was kind of phrased, it was like, each of us has our own thing about it, and I'm kind of like, all right, no offense, time out. It takes two to make that thing happen, so, like, at some point, you all have to come together and, like, figure it out at some point. But it's good to hear. The reason I asked the question is just purely as a, I don't know how else to say it. Over the past year, it's kind of been the it thing, or past 2 years, with equality, you know, for marriage in our nation. It's profoundly changed the community in ways. Like, Drew and I just had this laugh. We were someplace and there was this guy, and both of us are going, like, hey, he's kind of cute or whatever. And I was like, yeah, he's got a wedding band, whatever that means. And Drew made some, like, you know, kind of jokey comment about, yeah, you can never tell these days what that means. It used to mean he was a straight man married to a woman, possibly with kids. And if that's a thing that trips your trigger, then so be it. But now, yes, he could legitimately be married to another man. And, like, you don't know, you know, what all comes with that, so to speak. And is it important or is it not important in that case? And so, like, you know, last year, two of my friends, the Cubs who have been on the podcast, I officiated their ceremony in that. And it was nice. And, like, but, like, that's a whole new realm. It's like, now I'm going to gay weddings. I don't like calling them gay weddings, but you know what I mean? Like same gendered individuals are getting married legally and it's being recognized. And so they have family and friends and it's this whole thing that's happening. And so it was funny. I said to Drew and I said, can you get married in Florida? Like, I hate asking that question because it shows my own ignorance that I can't keep up with the nation. Quote unquote, like, I know the majority of the nation is now on board, but at the same time, you're kind of like, wait, which one is taking forever to make the damn decision? And the governor's being an idiot, and the, you know what I mean? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, it was easy when it was just one or two states that allowed it. Now, when it's like, what, like 23 states or something? Or like some high?
35 or left, I think.
So it's impossible to keep up with it like that because you can't just say, oh, it's most of the Southeast states because it's not. It's speckled all over the place. So
yeah.
Nobody expects you to keep up with that kind of stuff. But you're right. It is kind of, it's definitely a weird gray area we're in now where you have to ask and be like, wait, can you get married?
And yeah. It can seem like the fashionable thing to do now that it's legal in whatever state you live in, that it's, you know, I don't think we ever looked at it like that. I think some of our friends may have started getting more serious and announcing things. I mean, I'm sure there were some couples that were sitting on the couch and it came on the news and they were like, been together for 8 years. And the other one looks at the other one and says, well, don't you have something to say? I'm sure there's some couples, because I was talking about it last night. I said, you know, Obey is my partner. And then I thought about it. I'm like, you know, is partner now an outmoded statement? Can you say that anymore? Mm-hmm. Is it now? Because with straight people, they don't have partners. They go, I mean, if they're long-term together kind of thing and they don't intend on getting married, I guess you could say they're partners. Right. But because it's not exclusive to LGBT. But there are a lot of people that it's partners and then... Or not partner, it's boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, and then you're married. So where does partners fit into that anyway? Unless you've just made the mutual decision not to get married and just had kids. Like I think Brad and Angelina Jolie were a long time not married and had kids. They were partners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different kind of statement. But for LGBT, partners was because, oh, well, we can't really go that next step.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting thing.
That's the distinction that I've been... drawing, well, since the 90s, when my mother and I had this discussion about marriage equality, one of the things I ended up saying to her was, you know, what kind of irked me about the topic matter was this whole blending, this fogginess about the legality versus the spirituality. I'm like, you know, to me, I don't care what you do about the spirituality aspect. You know, it's like, if you want to do it in the trees, you want to do it downtown at the city hall, like, or in a church or synagogue, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. The reality is we're talking about the legality rights, but I think seeing same-gendered individuals get married puts a different spin on it, because you know, technically, like, you know, the boys, they got married twice. They got married in front of the JP to make it legal, but then they turned around and had, you know, like, over a month later, I think it was, had the family friends thing where it was, like, people could actually participate in the ceremony, quote-unquote, and those type of things. And so I find that interesting because, like, my best friend and her partner got married. I was there for the legal officiant stuff in D.C., and then they turned around the following May, had the family and friends thing, and I was a part of that as well. And then, you know, North Carolina got their shit together, you know, and now they're about to move to Virginia, which they're already cool and covered. But we were talking about it, about how that whole line of distinction, it's like, why do you do it? Why is it important? And that kind of stuff. But Heather flat out said it to me when she did their taxes the first time after they got married. She, I think she texted me or called me. I think she called me and was like, full volume, which I understand, she was mouthing off about the tax thing. She was like, can you believe how much we fucking saved by being legally married? Like, she just went, and she, I was like, all right, I get it. Like, I now understand sort of firsthand, like, yeah, the ridiculousness of this issue on the legality part, you know, that, you know, thousands of dollars are suddenly windfall. You are now recognized as this.
Yeah, and that's blah, blah, right.
Blah. Yeah. So, and I know that that's a motivating factor for some couples, is they're kind of like, yes, we're a couple. Yes, we've been together. Yes, we're in love. And we just want our piece of the equality pie, too, quote, that's unquote. Right. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to a, like, I want to be with this person forever and a day because marriage is so important. Anyways.
Well, it,
go ahead.
Again, I'm kind of a numbers person, and it is always in the back of my mind because we do the fun play around, you know, dancing around the marriage issue or whatever it is, but at the same time I'm like, I want that damn tax break. And it's the same thing. Like, I understand that gives you a tax break. I understand owning a house gives you a tax break. I understand having a kid gives you a tax break. And that will always be in the back of my mind because I view everything as a whole package. Yeah, it'll be really awesome to proclaim my undying love for Hadrian in front of you know, our closest friends and everything, but that's the marriage ceremony, and what comes with that is the legalities, like you're talking, and all it is, I officiated a wedding, and I thought it was really weird, because I signed their marriage certificate as the officiant, and we had the witness sign, you know, 2 days before the marriage, because that's just the time I saw them. I'm like, I guess you guys are married. Are you still going to do the whole wedding thing?
Like, right, because you're like, okay, the little paperwork thing is kind of done, and you send it off to the state or whatever, and then, and that's it.
It's done, and the government doesn't, the government pretends like it cares, but it doesn't care. It's a piece of paper filed away somewhere, and it's a check mark and a box somewhere in the IRS, you know, and it's crazy to me that we have so many people against it when really that's all it is. You know, right. You can have, my older sister got married a traditional Catholic wedding. You can stand and sit and hymn and kneel and pray all day, but if you don't turn that document into the clerk, you're not married, you know?
Right.
So, as one of our Supreme Justices found out recently, I think if you, when they were doing that whole discussion on gay marriage, some court recorder somewhere mentioned that somebody got up and argued that point, and they're like, well, you're not officially married until you turn in the certificate. One of the Supreme Justices was like, is that real? Really?
You guys, oh, I missed that.
I didn't catch that. That's awesome.
No.
Is that Scalia?
Get out of my head. Cause I was like, I'm hoping it's one of the ones that, you know, is more conservative.
But I of course read it, and I'm kind of cynical anyways. And I was like, I'm sure it was just a weird coincidence that he leaned in and was like, thinking of Scalia, of course. I'm like, oh my god, girl, look at those shoes or something, you know, like he was saying something else, it just happened to be at the wrong time. But
right,
I thought it was funny that a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there is a difference. Getting married in the eyes of the law is different than being married in the eyes of the Lord or whatever you're getting married for. So
yeah, because there's couples that I know that are friends of mine that had ceremonies before it was legal and then turned around and was like, well, guess we better make it legal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's go down and do the paperwork thing and get that out of the way, you know, and that kind of stuff. And, of course, every state's a little different on how they process it. And that's part of the thing that I have a pet peeve about is While I am grateful for living in our nation, and I do think it is a great nation, it also drives me crazy because basically every state here is like a country everywhere else in the Europe, in the world, be it Europe or, or wherever. So it is damnifying in a way because people are like, ooh, we don't get anything progressively done. I'm like, hello, have you paid attention? We're basically 50 countries. We're like kind of like the EU. Like, we're trying to get shit done, and it's not necessarily easy because everybody's got an opinion and everybody's got a perspective, and we have this whole government philosophy of that we don't get involved in state's business.
That's right.
And, well, that's fine, but at the same time, we have to start figuring out where it is no longer the state and it is the nation kind of issue. Uh-huh. And that's where I thought this progressively was turning into a very interesting argument, quote unquote, or legal fight, is about what each location feels is their, you know, XYZ. Like I was just explaining to Drew about Jindal and the Louisiana thing, and like what a nitwit he is about the whole, like,
he forced that.
Well, yeah, he was like, oh, I like what Mike Pence did, I'm gonna spin my version of it, an executive order, and blah 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 blah. And then, so did you read the latest about the governor of the mayor of New Orleans?
No,
he turned around and wrote an executive order that counters it and said in the executive order, or when he signed the executive order in the press release, he said that New Orleans basically feels that we, you know, are an open city and we accept everybody for who they are, and that we think that it is unjust and unfair to discriminate against other people, and we will not do it in our city, and it should not be done in the state of Louisiana. Like, basically it was kind of like, bitch slap. Like,
my nipples back, are so hard right now.
Like, right back at Jindal, kind of like, you're an idiot. Like, and don't you dare try to make us do something.
You can play that game.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it cracked me up when I was telling Drew about it, because we're planning a weekend get-together in New Orleans this fall, and I wasn't remotely concerned about it, but it cracks me up that, like, I'm like, oh, okay, great. So, like, the governor of the state's like, I'm going to do this thing because it's the principles that's important for me and my party and blah, 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 whatever. And then you turn around and you have the mayor of one of the largest cities of the state who's basically like, well, you know, flips on the bird and is like, not going to happen here. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you're kind of on your own on this one. We're not getting involved in that.
It seems like a lot of those... I don't want to be mean to Louisiana, but I don't think Louisiana doesn't have a whole lot of other going for it as far as profit and revenue goes. You know, they have New Orleans, and the governor can sometimes be out of touch with how much revenue, like, the gays in general bring in. Right. But the mayors generally understand that. I mean, if you piss off all the gays in New Orleans and they stop going there, that's a noticeable chunk of revenue they just lost. And it's, you can do that in a city in North Louisiana, because I'm sure the revenue contributed by gays is probably a much smaller percentage. But in Louisiana, I bet you would notice that gone. And other states like, you know, I don't know, Nevada.
Yeah.
Nevada was like, haha, screw gays. And then all of a sudden the mayor of Las Vegas is like, wait a second, because, you know, I'm sure there's several other states. It's kind of what Indianapolis...
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, Pence does that in the state of Indiana. And then, you know, Salesforce and these other companies were kind of like, hold up. And, like, that was a big thing. I mean, it's like, you know, the GLLA leather convention goes on in Indianapolis. Yeah. Midwest Bear Fest has their event in December. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I felt for Mike Davis, the run coordinator there, because I was like, oh my God, if my Commonwealth did this, which it's a state, but we call it a Commonwealth. If Pennsylvania did that, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do. If all of a sudden they were kind of like, yeah, we're passing a law on, you know, being gay is an issue and you can be discriminated against. I'd be like, bleh. Like, and so they had to put on their website for their run, they put a letter from the hotel that was like, while this law has been passed, we need a point of clarification. We have been a host for you for many years, and we can plan on continuing being a host for you for many years, and we don't care. Like, obviously, we know. Like, I mean, it was just this thing where I was like, wow, like, that's a big fucking problem. Mm-hmm. But notably, there, you know, it kind of makes this interesting conflict point about where are we going to spend our money? Like, how are we going to put that through and kind of get that message across?
I haven't really told Bailey this yet, but the way I've plotted our drive across San Diego is on the first day we get to Louisiana and we stop. And we're staying in a hotel because that's as close as I could get with it making it a day trip. We will pass through Texas to the other side, buying only gas, and make it to New Mexico on the second day. And we will not spend a dime in Texas. Because Louisiana's got its problems too, but that's fairly new, and I can't quite make it through Louisiana and Texas in one day. But we will make it all the way through Texas without spending a dime.
Except for gas.
Except for gas.
Which comes from Texas.
Because Texas is being stupid, too.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are trying to pass even really, really crazy, stupid laws. Like, we don't have to follow the Supreme Court, is what they're trying to say. You know, complete violation of the Supremacy Clause. It's doing all kinds of stupid shit. But they're being even more... Jindal has created the situation on his own. He wanted the Senate and the House to pass something, and then he would be able to make this statement and just do it. And they were like, we really don't want to fuck with the money. And... And Jindal was like, well, I'm just going to make an executive order making this happen for me. He's trying to make some... He's doing his presidential run. He's trying to make a... He's trying to create a showdown. And, of course, it's not going to fly. It'll be struck down.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Pence kind of felt that. Like, he tried really hard to stick by his guns for, like, a week or whatever.
That crumbled.
And everybody was like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Still an idiot today. Still an idiot tomorrow.
If he hadn't done that picture in his office with all those religious leaders... He might have had a leg to stand on.
That was the most insane photo op thing I'd ever seen.
Absolutely.
Like, you're signing something into law, and you're surrounded by, like, priests, rabbis, and nuns. What the fuck?
Yep.
Like, that... Huh? Like, where... My mind was blown by that. I was like, somebody somewhere told you that that was the good thing to do, like, and they should be let go for that marketing, advertising suggestion, whatever it is, because it's like... I don't think that means what you think it means, or it's going to carry across the way you want it to. And that's, but yeah, so I agree that, you know, I think that Jindal's kind of following in that, like, you know, well, we're going to do, I mean, didn't Arkansas turn around and, like, was going to follow right after Indiana?
Yeah,
and
then all of a sudden,
the state government was like, well, now hold on, like, let's not be too hasty. And, you know, because they realized, like, oh, this is an issue. And I was very proud of the major corporations stepping up to the plate and saying, we have a problem with this, and we're not necessarily happy about it. I mean, I was really proud that Tim Cook made a comment and was kind of like, this is not good for business.
Yeah.
It was basically like, he basically was trying really hard to be the right CEO without telling Indiana to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. He did it in Alabama, too, because he's from Alabama. He's from Auburn, not from far from where I'm from. And he was like, what are you doing, Alabama? Because remember, they have that hodgepodge system where some counties are on board, some counties aren't. That one weird, stupid... Ten Commandments judge was trying to circumvent the law with it, and I think they're now in some kind of weird stalemate where they're not issuing licenses. I'm not really sure. It was changing from day to day.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they're a big old patchwork mess right now, and they're holding on for dear life until June.
Well, was it here in Florida where the people were resigning? County clerks or whatever were kind of like, it's against my religious thing, and they were just quitting?
I don't think there were some that were saying they were going to quit. I don't think any of them did, and I think they came down to they weren't going to do courthouse marriages anymore at all. No more courthouse marriages. So they basically just said, oh, I get to do less work and get paid the same and not have to get anybody married now. I just have to issue the licenses and that's it.
Right.
So they can, you know, I think they can have a judge come do it, but the county clerks no longer have to.
So that's what I mean by, like, this whole, like, federal versus the state level stuff. I'm kind of like, you know what? I would really like, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think. We might be a good 5 to 10 years before the government, national government, gets their act together and basically steps up and creates a law and says, all right, for the purposes on the national level, all these recognitions, they get titled as this thing, and this is the process that you get them done universally across the 50 states and the recognized territories. Done. Do you know what I mean? It's like, strip away the word marriage, let the religious houses have it, you know what I mean? And just, like, kind of make this unified system or whatever and be like, you know what I mean? It's like, and in your state, you can do whatever you want for XYZ, but we just need to, like, kind of standardize the thing, because I think that's what is making it such a mess and sort of a mockery in a way. It's kind of like, well, what county are you in and what township and what state and blah, 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 and who will do this thing? And it's kind of like, really? Seriously? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the dealio with that?
That'll be an interesting showdown, because that's always traditionally been a state law thing. A state, you know, states get to dictate marriage. But, of course, the federal government stepped into that back in the 90s when they created the original FRFA, is that they said, we're going to regulate marriage by saying it's only between a man and a woman, along with this other host of things they put in there, in that, and the DOMA, in Defense of Marriage Act, the stuff they put in there as well.
Right.
So they've already stepped into the marriage arena. They can, they've already shown that they can dictate what goes in and out of a marriage. So it'll be very interesting what happens in the next few years as they talk about it.
They've done it before all through history, too.
Well, absolutely.
And, you know, women stepping in on the equality issue. Slavery, that was originally a state-decided thing.
Virginia.
I hate comparing the gay rights movement to the civil rights movement or anything, but talking before the Civil Rights Movement, when you're talking about actual slavery and everything, that was, it was up to the states, and then the government took it out of their hands too. And it pisses the states off because all of a sudden they just lost a big chunk of power.
It was a pissed off thing. A few years there, they were really, really pissed off.
Oh, yeah, okay. They're a little mad.
Well, it's a cannonballs, man.
Just this little snippet of history thing that happened, right. You know. That
yeah, maybe I should compare it to that then, because you're
right. They had a tantrum.
A tantrum that cost 400,000 lives, right. But, you know, it was the big deal. You know, just a little thing that happened, just a little blip, you know, on the history timeline.
Yeah, right, the Southern riots.
Something I was interested in, because you guys were talking about that stuff, is there anything that you guys are looking forward to that is kind of a on the horizon or you want to see happen, be it for yourselves personally or the relationship or the greater community and stuff?
The new Star Wars movies are looking really good.
All right, that's fair game.
For me, it's our first vacation, like our first actual, not a bear run. We have both worked in a position for 2 years and we're both, you know, working our asses off and we're tired. We need a vacation. Our first, like, actual vacation. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm, you know, especially looking forward to our first trip together out of the country. So that's my...
Cool.
I'm a little more short-sighted. I'm really looking forward to being back in San Diego. I'll be honest. I mean, we've had a few discussions like this over the last few weeks. Every time I say to people, "Oh, we're moving," I'm like, "Oh, I knew you really hated Florida," and I'm like, "No, no, no, I didn't hate Florida. It wasn't that I hate being here. I love everything Florida has given to me and all the opportunities that, you know, Florida has given me. I was not happy to be moving back here. Besides getting to be with Bailey, I lived here before in 2004, and Hurricane Wilma came along and washed all my shit out into the sea when I lived in Key West. So I don't have all positive experiences of Florida, and Florida obviously has some political problems, as we mentioned before. I'm looking forward to being back in San Diego. I'm looking forward to being in, you know, in a city that I know loves me, and I love that city, and in a state that I know loves me as a, you know, as a gay man. You know, that's a pleasure. I don't feel like the state could turn on me at any time like Florida could. You know, I don't think they'll ever come banging on my door with pitchforks and, you know, looking for kindling, but I feel like that's much less of a possibility in California. I feel safer out there. I feel like my future is guaranteed. Our ability to get married, our ability to have kids and own a house together and stay together and retire together and that kind of stuff, I feel like that's more guaranteed out there versus the instability here. Because anything can change, governor to governor, president to president, etc. So I'm looking forward to that. I love my job right now. I'm so happy in my career right now. It is the, you know, besides Bailey, it's the best thing going for me right now. I really feel like I'm at a company where I want to be at for a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to getting out there and hitting the ground running and doing a lot of good things with this company. And I'm looking forward to working hard. And I guess by extension of that, if I work hard, I want to play hard. I'm looking forward to our ability to get settled and be able to go and do. Is the way my grandmother would put it. I want to go and do, and I want to be able to do that with Bailey. And I think we have a whole lot to look forward to.
That's good. That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys because it's kind of it. I mean, it's unless there's other things that you want to footnote or get in before we.
No, I think we've run the clock on this one. It's been 3 hours now, isn't it?
No, geez, sorry.
No,
I've been having a good time.
Yeah, so. This has been awesome.
But see, that's the thing I like about this. That's why I don't like the timeline kind of structure thing. And I listen to podcasts a lot. I probably have about, I think last count, 37, 38 of them that are like random. Like I listen to different things. But I like ones that are mostly interview that like discuss stuff. But it does become a little bothersome that it's formulaic, that it's about an hour to an hour and a half and like that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know about like the mind retention issue, but at the same time, I'm like I can tell sometimes, especially when there are ones like with celebrities and it's like, you know, they have a schedule, they have a thing and it's like, and where this, now you understand when I talked about gay days a year ago that we talked and talked and talked and it's kind of like, this is what I like, but I also hope that this is a good representation to some people out there. Like this is this is a craft. Communication is a thing. And it bothers me that some people can't do this or don't understand this, because we live in this age where they're like doing this online thing. And it's kind of like, no, really, you can sit and have an engrossing conversation with another person about nearly damn near anything anymore. Do you know what I mean? And just be into that. And that's where I like the fact that, you know, Damon and Jeff were like, yeah, we like having you on the show and so on and so forth. So, and as long as they're happy and I'm happy and people enjoy it, you know, and yeah, and that kind of stuff, we're good with it. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it, Bailey, and you were kind of like, oh, I didn't necessarily realize how much time went by or whatever. And, you know, and that it was, you know, better than, oh, yeah, like my eyes aren't bleeding and I don't feel like, you know, you pulled my nails out by the beds or whatever.
Well, I have like more thought. I just hope we're not boring anybody where they're like, God, what are we, 3 hours now? I don't know, almost. I just, but whatever, they have play and pause buttons on whatever device they're using. They can stop this and start it whenever they want.
And to be fair, given the length, it's going to probably get cut into at least 2 shows, if not 3.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I realized the topics when we were listening to it, this is a little behind the curtain for those that are still paying attention to the show. I know exactly kind of like there was a point where we kind of changed a subject matter and we went in a different direction. And I was like, that would be a really good point to like kind of like stop and then move on to the other thing and be able to give Jeff a teaser that he can say, you know, hey, this is, you know, like, you know, listen to next week's episode or whatever and that kind of a thing and go from there. So, yeah, no, it's all good. I think that people enjoy it and we get some feedback, but we don't really ever get feedback where people are like, this show is awful and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Or it's like, you know, your topics suck or your interviews suck or like get better people. Like no one really kind of says any of that. So we keep trucking along, you know, and nice. We get more likes and people pay attention and that kind of stuff. And we got some feedback recently. It was actually about Damon and I and the RuPaul thing. And it made me laugh because the person was like, I enjoy listening to your recaps and I find them very stimulating and blah, 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 blah. And most of the time, I agree with this person, but sometimes I agree with the other one, and sometimes I think you're both full of shit and blah blah blah. It was very fair and balanced, and it made me laugh. And I was like, "Yay!" Like, you know, I like that as opposed to "We love you, we want to have you our babies." Because I'm like, okay, that's a little extreme. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Kind of like it's a little fandom like bit. And then on the other side, you know, you have to be able to temper it and take it into account and be like, oh, you know, if people are like, meh, you know, and they give you lots of, you know, online trolling, you're kind of like, that's nice, well, good for you. So, you know, we do the best that we can with it. So, that being said, why don't we wrap up the show and come to an end. I would love to touch base with you guys after you get settled in SD and see how things are going out there. And I don't mean, like, in a couple weeks. I mean, you know, seriously, months go by or check in back in with you, you know, maybe about this time next year and be like, hey, what's the dealio? Where are things at? And that kind of stuff. And who knows, by then you might be celebrities of your own in the California realm of that community and those people and those things.
He will be. He'll still be sticking out, standing just outside the limelight. That's where I like it.
You'll find him at hadriansboyfriend.tumblr. I'm kidding.
You know someone probably by the end of this podcast, by the time it airs, like they will have created
it. Right, I know. I have to go register. Thanks, Adrian.
That would be funny if you go tonight and you're kind of like, what? It's already taken.
Oh, that would be
awesome. Well, it could be really creepy, too, where it's like Hadrian cut out and they're laying in bed with him or anything.
Oh, God. I'm on a hentai pillow.
Yeah, we should probably check that out, I guess.
That is too funny. And strangely creepy.
Here, Hadrian, eat your oatmeal.
Oh, gross.
Don't you love his apple pie, Ivy?
That's my hair.
Oh, gross. That was inside you.
Aren't you glad you didn't make a toy line of your...
Yeah, I'm
That would be funny. All right, well, let's say goodnight, everybody, and we'll talk to you all later on the next one.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.